just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now. Hey, I wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now.
Develop these bars for the developing stars, whoa. Wrecked by the stars though, but they know just who they are. The knowledge is deep, man, cause college is bleak, man. Knees of the bees, man. Devy happy hour now. I trust him with everything. Every confidence giving me confidence. Sipping is hopping and really no stopping. I'll make you a champion, y'all put a sock in it. But this is life, bro. They're at it all night though. So you can just drive slow and get down with the Devy crew.
I wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now. Hey, I wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you are listening, wherever you are listening. This is episode 61 of the Devy Happy Hour. My name is Skip Newton, at SkipNewton31 on the Twitter machine, coming to you from Eagan, Minnesota, where it is unseasonably nice. And for those of you who like the white snow on the ground, you might be disappointed this year. But that's all right, because Christmas is coming and we're in the spirit. But today we're in the spirit to talk some Devy football, and let's get into that. Unfortunately, we do not have Brian Chikochas from Boston, Mass. This week, but we do have a surprise coming in just a little bit. But of course, I have to introduce my co-host from today, coming in at guard, 6 feet tall, 6'4" with the afro, from North Carolina, Matthew Jackson. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Skip. Hope you're doing good. Fun fact, did you know I used to have an afro in college? Like, for some reason, my parents let me out of the house, and I had like a mini afro at like 16 years old. It was like 16 nerdy-looking white kid. So you weren't far off with that description. That's kind of scary that you knew that. Dude, I'm excited to be back and talk some Devy football. I'm excited for our first guest. We got our first ever guest on the pod, so I'm stoked about that. And Skip, to be frank, I don't know what you're going to do because you got two Matts on the pod. I don't know how you're going to distinguish between the both of us.
Right. I'm going to be surrounded by Matts. I'm going to be surrounded by Ohio State fans. Of course, we're talking about Matthew Brunning. Did I get that last name pronounced right, Matt?
It's Bruning.
Bruning, okay. Yeah. And why don't you tell everyone, you know, what you do, where you're at. I know I wrote some stuff down just for myself, but I'll let you fill in the blanks for everybody.
Well, first off, thank you guys for having me on here. I'm excited to talk to you guys, listen to you guys regularly, as I was just talking with Matt about before you jumped on there, Skip. So I'm excited to be on here with you guys. I did not know I was your first guest, though, so I do appreciate that. That's a high honor, in my opinion. I write for Dynasty Nerds. I am their Devy team lead over there. Also have a couple podcasts myself, the Fantasy Football Roundtable and the Devy Debate Show. Been in the fantasy football writing industry for about 8 years now, but only been with Dynasty Nerds for 2 years. So that's about it. That's all I've got going on.
Awesome. That is great. I love the stuff over at Dynasty Nerds. And you coming on the show made me think the other day, just yesterday, I was like, hey, wait a minute. Why have I not heard Matt's voice on a podcast recently? And I had some issues with my phone a couple weeks ago where I basically had to, you know, start over with it and, you know, reset it up and everything. And I lost all my subscriptions to my podcast. And yours was the one that was missing, because I'm like, this is not right. I have not heard the Devy debate in too long. And I'm guessing they're not taking a break. So that was a nice reminder. And I quickly subscribed to it and started downloading again and listened to it last night. I love the podcast. It's awesome stuff, of course, with Austin and Felix. Felix is one of my guys. I played some poker with him online in the last few months. Wow, so nice. Just a great guy. And be careful, though, getting him into a poker game. He can be a little rough on you, man. He's a good player.
He take you to the cleaner, Skip?
A couple of times, it's like, well, this does not go well. Also wanted to bring up, because I know I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but you are co-commissioner, and I believe it, is it Carl and Boz or the other two? Do I got the names right on that?
Yes.
So.
Yes.
And Matt Jackson, I've mentioned this to you, they co-commish probably the most complicated, craziest, amazing, and confusing Campus Decanton League in the history of fantasy football. So I'm not going to get into all the details, but basically, as owners of teams, there's two divisions of 12, and we don't get to draft the incoming recruiting class. So like for 2021, they're not part of our draft process. We recruit them. So we all had to pick colleges, and you picked colleges based on the state that they're in, because you get points for what state for the recruiting pipeline and for the educational value. And there's a website that tells you, you know, how good they are in that regard. And then you put points every week towards all of the 2021 recruits. And then they hit a certain level, and then they decide whether or not they're committing. And there's a whole thing these guys do for that. And then when they commit, they do a live YouTube broadcast to show who actually wins the recruit. It's the craziest thing. I swear I've never been in a league where I have to refer back to the bylaws more frequently, just yeah. So I know what the hell I'm doing. And there literally was like a 25-minute intro YouTube video just to explain how it worked. It was awesome. And man, I got to tell you guys, it was a great concept you came up with, and I'm having a blast in that league, even though the recruiting is not going my way.
Yeah, you know, it's not going my way either. If you've watched the shows and you've seen some of my live reactions, it's a good thing I'm allowed to curse on there, because things have not gone my way lately. Everything is going great for Ohio State in real life, not so much in the program right now. I've lost out on quite a few high recruits. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. It helps having, you know, guys like yourself in there, and we've got a lot of big names in the industry in that league as well that all know the Devy game and college football as well, which makes it a lot of fun because you're not sneaking up on anybody. I think the NFL side is just as competitive as the college side, which we didn't get to play this year, which sucked. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. If you guys want to see more of what Skip's talking about, we go live every Wednesday with the recruitment show. But yeah, I got to give Garrett Price his due as well, because he did help do a lot of this as well. He has to take a step back because of everything he's got going on. That's where Boz and Carl came in to help me. But it actually started out as an idea by me, Boz, and Garrett. And then Carl came on to help out Garrett with everything he's got going on.
Yeah, I'm so mad at myself because y'all had reached out to me before you started about trying to let me do that, get into all the program. And I was the idiot that was like, you know, no, I've got too many leagues. I'm good. Thanks, though. And now I'm kicking myself every day and every week when I see that recruiting video. I was like, man, what did I do? Like, I could have been in this awesome Devy League. Like, it looks like the most fun Devy League there is out there right now. And I kick myself every single week because I could have been in it and I chose not to be. So that's bad judgment judgment on my account.
Well, it's funny you say that, Matt, because I had reached the point of the non-point scoring season where I was in the exact same frame of mind, right? Where it's like, okay, I've got enough leagues, especially with Campus to Canton. I've joined, you know, at least two or three. I think it was up to three or four, maybe. It's like, all right, I'm done. I'm good. I've got plenty to manage. And then I get the DM about this one, and I'm like, well, you know, these guys are awesome. I'm at least going to check out the video and look into it before I say no. And I'm into this video and I'm just thinking to myself, I can't not do this. This is amazing. So
there's no other league. There's no other league like it out there. I mean, this is such a unique league.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's one of the three or four leagues that I drafted Journey Brown in. So that was took an L on that one, unfortunately, yeah. But, and I haven't been able to drop him from my roster yet. It's like, I don't know why. It's just like, well, I don't need the roster space. I'm just going to leave him on there for now. you never know.
Yeah, that is true.
All right. So let's get into the topic for today. We are going to do a 2021 rookie mock draft. So this is probably one of the last times we'll really dive in deep to the 2021 prospects, because we're getting to that point now where we're going to start, you know, switching into future years, of course, being a Devy focused podcast. But we're going to do a mock draft. We're going to do a super flex. And before we start, I just want to talk about, you know, and get your opinions on, guys, the things that you look for, like when you're ranking players and then when you ultimately get to your rookie drafts and the non-Devy leagues that you're in. I took some notes here just for myself, but, you know, obviously we want to look at the players' talent and really the traits that they have that we think are going to be transferable to the NFL game. Draft capital means a ton, of course. I mean, you know, if a guy falls to day three that you're not expecting, that can have an impact on his opportunity. Landing spot, I know Mr. Jackson's a huge one on landing spot, which it makes sense. I mean, opportunity and scheme. And then, of course, their production. But which one of these traits, I mean, how do you guys rank these as far as what means the most to you? And we'll start with you, Bruning. You know, where are you at with these traits and or these different things when you're analyzing your players?
Man, I've kind of come, I would say, almost 360 on this the past couple years. I used to be very heavy on the draft capital and landing spot, because I feel like any player that gets drafted in the NFL, well, there's some guys who obviously have better talent and some better traits than others. Anybody who gets drafted in the NFL is a good player. I mean, there's only a finite amount of NFL players in the world. That being said, recently I've come around to, I think talent and traits matter more than anything else. We've seen guys who get the draft capital. I'll go back to a couple years ago when N'Keal Harry went in the first round to the New England Patriots, and everybody said, hey, he's got that first-round draft capital. He's a really good wide receiver. He's going to be the best of this class. And they said landing spot was great, too, because of Tom Brady. And then 2 years later, Tom Brady's gone. Cam Newton's there. We don't know what the future's going to be like for N'Keal Harry. Now, I wasn't as high on him. I still had Metcalf and Brown as my top guys in that class. But in that same class, Brown landing in Tennessee, everybody dropped him because of him landing there. So for me, talent and trait wins out everything. I think James Robinson and Philip Lindsay have showed that as well in the past couple years, being undrafted. And now, well, when Denver decided to, in my opinion, stupidly pay Melvin Gordon, they kind of screwed that up for Philip Lindsay. But Lindsay was a starter. James Robinson looks like he could be a starter for Jacksonville moving forward. So for me, I'd go talent and traits are the biggest part, draft capital, and then production, and then landing spot last. Because I feel like if you have the talent, you're going to force your way on the field regardless of where you land.
Matt, what do you think about that?
I can agree with that. Pretty much everything Rooney was saying. For me, you've already mentioned, you know, I'm a huge landing spot and draft position guy. I mean, we've talked about it on the show before. You know, once you get past round four, the amount of success that you have in the NFL drops off pretty significantly after you get past that round four draft capital. So that matters to me a whole lot. You know, if you get drafted to high enough, you're going to get more opportunities than the guys that get drafted lower past round four. I mean, that just, we see it every year. You get the opportunities, you get the chance to be on the field because that team spent the draft capital on you. Outside of that, you know, I think landing spot matters too. The scheme that you're in, the scheme has to fit the player, and it has to be a mutual coexisting relationship. You've got to be able to excel in the scheme. So that's important to me. But the more I've grown into this whole scouting players thing, I've really started to be more of a film room guy, and, you know, seeing what traits and what they do on the field in college and how that translates to the NFL. Because, I mean, I think the best example for me is I look too much at, you know, take DK Metcalf, for example. And we all remember when he came out in the NFL, that slide that he had on draft night where he wasn't getting drafted as high as everybody thought he was going to be because of this supposed not being able to run routes. He had a horrible three-cone drill, all that stuff that was going on. And now he's one of, if not the best receiver in the NFL right now. So, you know, you've got to be able to do a little mix of both. You've got to look at the film, what they do on the tape, and landing spot matters just as much as that. So I think for me, it's landing spot, draft capital, and film, all kind of that 1A, 1B sort of thing. And then everything else comes secondary to me.
Yeah, you guys really nailed it there. Obviously, all these things matter, and you have to take all of them into account. But I think what I've learned, especially in the last couple of years, is don't let the one or two guys that are kind of those outliers to your process, you know, completely change your process in future years, right? I mean, talent and traits, they do matter most. I mean, if a guy really falls that you thought, you know, should have been higher up, like let's say for example, you really like the traits of a James Robinson and thought, man, this guy could do it, and then he falls super far in the draft and, you know, gets picked up by Jacksonville. That doesn't mean, all right, he's trash, getting rid of him. It's like, no, I still like his talented traits, but now you can add them to your list of guys that, okay, this can be a late round steal in my rookie drafts, or guys that I'm going to take a chance on versus all the other dudes that might go later. So, you know, stay true to your process. Just don't completely change it because of that. But yeah, I mean, draft capital is a big one as well for me. You know, those are my top two. But, you know, I think if the guy has the talent to play the position and shows the traits that you're looking for, even if he gets into a landing spot or maybe falls a round or two that makes him a little less desirable, you have to trust that it's going to win out. It's just going to happen. you know, we've talked on Twitter at least about, you know, who were guys that you missed on and owning up to that. I completely swung and missed on DK Metcalf. I did not take him in any rookie drafts, you know, where he was going. And I have been obviously regretting that ever since. And it was pretty evident, you know, right away with Seattle. It's like, oh man, this guy is going to be a beast. I mean, just, he's amazing. I mean, he's so good. And fortunately, I didn't do the same thing with AJ Brown. So I have a few shares of him, which I love. But yeah, that's a rough one to live up, because now trading for him is nearly impossible, or you're just gonna absolutely bend over and pay big time.
Yeah, you can't do it. And another one you hit on, AJ Brown, I missed on him too. And to Matt's point, you know, when it comes about landing spot, he fell in a lot of rookie drafts because of the landing spot he went to, and his skill set, a lot of analysts out there didn't think he could be utilized in that offense. And you know, just like Matt was saying, you know, cream rises to the crop. If you've got the traits to succeed and you're a good receiver, you're going to get the playing time and you're going to excel no matter what situation you're in. I mean, the talent rises to the top. We saw that in AJ Brown. We see that in DK Metcalf. We saw that in James Robinson. I mean, if you're a good player, most of the time, it doesn't matter where you land. Yeah, now, there are a few exceptions, but
yeah, I agree completely.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into this. Bruning, as you are the guest, we are going to give you the 101 in the Superflex rookie mock for 2021. Now, I was talking off air, but I know what a big fan of Kyle Pitts you are. So are you going to just shock the world here, or are you going to play a little bit of game theory, maybe hope to get him later?
I will definitely play him later. If we were talking super tight end flex league here, we're super tight end premium. I'm sorry, we're 3 points a catch. Kyle Pitts is 1-1 in all dynasty leagues. But no, I will. I'm actually going to do what we talked about. I'm going to go Justin Fields, and some of that I will openly admit is my Buckeyes bias here. But I love Fields. I think he's just as good as Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence, a little bit of better arm, but I love Fields' accuracy, his size. Definitely a lot better more accurate closer to the line of scrimmage than he is deep ball, but I love his mobility. I know I think he could be a little bit more on the NFL level better running the ball than Trevor Lawrence is. I honestly think he has a chance to have higher upside in the fantasy football game coming to the NFL than Trevor Lawrence does, mostly because I also like his possible landing spot better, even though we can't really predict that as we still have a little bit of the NFL season left to go. But he's been amazing, has graded out on a 93.6 passing grade right now this year. It was a little bit lower than that last year. They don't throw the ball deep, as Matt knows, much at Ohio State. They have a interesting game plan that I don't think always shows off Justin Fields' strength. So I do think when he gets to the NFL level, he's going to surprise some people with how good he really can be. They limit him a little bit more in that offense at Ohio State. But I love Fields, and that's who I'm taking at 1-1.
You know, most people are going to tell you that Trevor Lawrence is the 101 pick. Don't ever think it take Trevor Lawrence. But when you look at Justin Fields, talent-wise, he's a lot closer to Trevor Lawrence than a lot of people think. I was talking to a few guys in one of my dynasty leagues just this morning, and they were asking me, you know, this one guy's trying to trade for the 1.04, and he said, who do you think is going to be there? And Justin Fields was one of the options he listed. And, you know, there's no way he's going to last that long. I mean, he's just as good as Trevor Lawrence. You know, a lot of people want to downgrade Justin Fields after that game versus that game last week. Forget who they were playing.
Indiana.
Yeah, they were playing Indiana, and everybody wants to downgrade him. They want to talk about, you know, he had a bad game, move him down your boards. But then nobody wants to talk about the first half of the season last year where Trevor Lawrence didn't look like that perennial all-talent player that everybody's hyping him up to be and that he is. So, you know, good players are allowed to have a bad game. It happens to everybody. Justin Fields is still going to succeed. He's a great quarterback. And what you get with Justin Fields that you're not going to get as much with Trevor Lawrence is the rushing upside. And how many more points do you get out of a quarterback that can rush the ball out of a quarterback that's just a pure pocket passer? I mean, you look at Lamar Jackson just last year, and while I'm not saying that Justin Fields is going to come in and just blow it up like Lamar Jackson did last year, your rushing upside automatically gives you extra points that just a pure pocket passer is not going to give you. So I anticipate he's going to have at least one QB1 finish just based on his rushing upside alone, as well as what he does right inside the pocket.
Yeah, there's a definite argument to be made there on Fields, you know, 101. It's, I think the general consensus is going to be Trevor Lawrence. People are going to think that he's the safer play. But Matt, you hit on it with the rushing upside. I mean, that that is a differentiator in fantasy football. I mean, he's going to score points that other guys aren't. And I love the pick. So let's go right into you, Matt Jackson. Have you been given a gift here at the 102? Brock Purdy, perhaps?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to take Brock Purdy second overall when he's my like quarterback 27 or whatever it is. You got to pick Trevor Lawrence here at 1.02. Most of your leagues, for those that are listening, Trevor Lawrence isn't going to fall to the second pick. It's just not going to happen. So if he does, you've got to take him there. Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields are the clear 1A, 1B of this draft. In a super flex league, there's no reason to overthink this pick. They're the two top players. You never get quarterbacks cheaper than you're going to be able to get them in the rookie draft. I mean, I think of last year. I know Rich and Matt O'Hara were talking about it when they were talking about Justin Herbert on the Dynasty Nerds pod. You know, everybody was dropping Justin Herbert in their rookie drafts last year just because of different things. And now look at it. How hard is it to get a quarterback like Justin Herbert now with the season he's having? And, you know, you take quarterbacks in your super flex leagues. That's just what you do. Regardless of what you think of them, how you value them, quarterbacks are more expensive later on than they are in the rookie drafts, and they're the position that you need to get. And Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence are the two top guys, and it's no one else is really close.
Yep, I agree on that. I mean, this is a no brainer. I don't think we need to bust into it anymore. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is the real deal for sure. People are calling him one of the best prospects coming out since, you know, in the last decade. So yeah, we'll stick with that. What you said there at the end makes my pick number three the tough one, because you're like, if you're in a super flex league, which this is what we're doing, you can't pass on quarterbacks. You know, and you know, we're drafting 101, 102, 103 here. You have to assume, you know, those are probably you have a bad team. So you know, super flex league, you might be a little weak at quarterback, so you can't fade that for the sexier guy that's going to score more points right away, which of course might be one of the two running backs that I have in tier one, who I'm always tempted to take because I love them both. But I'm gonna continue with quarterback, and I gotta go with my number three guy right now, and that's Zach Wilson. I think this guy has the things that we talked about when we're looking for who we should take, and it's the traits that he shows while playing are traits that I think are transferable to the NFL. I mean, he just seems to be a gutty quarterback that makes plays, and he's got the arm talent. He's got the pocket presence and awareness. I just like his overall game. He kind of feels like he's not a loose cannon. He's, you know, you might want to call him a gunslinger because he does make some crazy plays at times, but he makes all the throws, and I'm a huge fan of him. I've loved him more and more as I've watched him this season, and I know he doesn't have the competition that you like, but I think people need to really focus on, when you're watching him, it's not who he's playing against, but just how he's playing, the plays that he's making, and that's why I'm such a big fan of Wilson. Now, if for some reason he dropped farther in the draft than I'm expecting, then we're going to have to change that. But I think he's going to be the third quarterback off the board. I think he's going to be a top 10 pick. And so that makes him a no-brainer here at 103.
You know, for me, I don't care as much about the level of competition. And we're going to get to see that change a little bit today when he plays Coastal Carolina. You've got a top 20 matchup. So we're going to get to see the level of competition change a little bit. But at the same time, you know, regardless of what your level of competition is, you still have to be able to hit the throws. I mean, if you're playing a small school, whether you're playing a big school, you've still got to be an accurate quarterback regardless of that. And that's what Zach Wilson is. He's one of the most accurate quarterbacks in college football. He throws a beautiful deep ball. He's got the arm strength. He's got the arm talent like you talked about. He's one of those guys that's risen a lot in the Devy circle this year. And, you know, Skip, we talked about this on the show plenty of times. You know, if this season was up in the air and in doubt for a long time. And if we don't play this season, is anybody thinking about drafting Zach Wilson as high as he's going to go in this NFL draft this year? I mean, it's crazy that the historic rise he's had. And he's somebody that is going to surprise a lot of people when he gets to the next level. You know, I'm not worried about that small school thing. He's got the talent, and he's going to succeed.
Yeah, I think Wilson's amazing. I agree with you, Matt, on the small school thing. It doesn't matter. You just watch his games, and especially watch that game today against Coastal Carolina. The throws that he's making on the field, that's NFL throws. It doesn't matter what school you come from. If you can make throws like that, you're going to succeed in the NFL.
All right, let's go on to the next pick. Move this thing along. We're back to you, Matt Bruning. Who do you got at 104?
So I'm going to kind of keep the trend going here because I'm with you. Not only do, obviously, your teams probably are not good. Obviously, some teams make trades to move up in these top four. But quarterbacks are king in super flex drafts. They bring more capital, especially if they end up hitting. You may need a running back or wide receiver, but if you end up with three or four really good quarterbacks, you can move those guys for wide receiver and running back prospects. So I'm going to go with my QB3, Mac Jones out of Alabama. Really like him. Yeah, I know it's controversial for some. Much like Zach Wilson, I think he's proved himself this year. Obviously, he had a decent season last year once Tua went down, but he's come in this year, and he's been right up there with the best in the country with the deep ball throw. 991 yards and 11 touchdowns, 2 interceptions for a rating of 118.8, 62.5 completion percentage deep ball. He's got great mechanics. Obviously, the argument people have against him is he's got one of the best offensive lines in the country. He's got talent all around him in the receiving and running game. But the throws, the same thing I said about Zach Wilson, the throws he makes on the field, I think he can do that at the NFL level. He can tell very good football IQ with the way he reads the field. He gets it to his open guy. I like his mechanics, the way he's very accurate, and his ball placement is very good. A couple of those throws to Devonta Smith, I understand Devonta Smith's a great wide receiver prospect, but some of the throws he makes back shoulder and puts them right in where Devonta Smith needs him down the field. I think Mac Jones is going to be a very good NFL quarterback. My only issue with him is he's not very mobile, but we've seen guys like, I'm not comparing him to Tom Brady and Drew Brees, but we've seen guys like Tom Brady, Drew Brees, who are pocket passers, who because of their NFL IQ and their just longevity have been able to make themselves a really good career. I don't think you have to be a running quarterback to succeed in the NFL, even though it seems that's the way the NFL offensive game is going.
You know, a lot of people talk about Mac Jones, and he's on a team that's got all this talent, and he's not a great quarterback, he's just surrounded by great players. And I don't think that's the case with Mac Jones. You know, we've seen when Jalen Waddle went down, you know, he doesn't have the receivers that Tua had last year, three first round receivers, and he's still producing on the field. Like, he still throws a great ball. He's got those traits that you like. And he just feels like, I don't know, maybe I'm speculating here on draft pick, but doesn't he, to me, seem like that guy that's going to get drafted to back up Drew Brees and that Sean Payton offense? And if he lands in that sort of system, I mean, the sky's the limit for this kid because he does have that NFL IQ that can succeed in a situation like that.
I was thinking the same thing. I think he's going to fall to the later parts of the first round, and some team that's a good team that needs a replacement quarterback to groom, that's the kind of team that's going to draft him, and everyone's going to be like, oh man, they just hit on another quarterback, and we're stuck with this team being good for the next decade.
Yeah, I'd love to see him fall there or even New England. Like New England with Josh McDaniels, assuming he stays there at offensive coordinator, I think he could thrive in either one of those places.
I just assume New England find a way to be bad for a while. But, yeah, that's just me, and I can say that when Shaq's not on here. how we like to predict where, how good players are going to be or who we like, who we don't like. I'm going to make a different prediction. I'm going to predict that Mac Jones is probably the guy that I'm not going to get in many leagues, if any, and he's going to end up being good. And then a year from now, I'm going to come back on here and talk to you about how I have to take an L on Mac Jones because I don't have him on any rosters and he turned out to be good.
He's going to be like that Josh Allen in the draft that nobody drafts, and he slips to the late first in your rookie drafts and is the best quarterback out of that crop.
So there you go. I'm predicting my own L. How about that? Who does that? Right? All right, Jackson, who do you have at 105? Are you going to stay quarterback, or are we going to switch it up?
No, so I'm going to break up the trend here a little bit. I'm going to make an assumption, and if you're picking from 105, there's been a lot of injuries this year. You might have a decent team and just gotten unlucky with injuries. You've got some usable quarterbacks you can use. So for me, I'm going to dip into the running back well here. I'm going to take my running back one, Alabama's Najee Harris. He just does everything that you want out of a running back on the field. He's an excellent pass catcher. He's a big body running back. He doesn't have the speed that you might have in Travis Etienne, but he's just an all-around, do-it-all running back. he's got the short area burst. He's got the long speed. He's got, you know, the wiggle in between the tackles. I mean, there's that one play last year where he bounces, he cuts back through the hole, and I mean, he takes off with the ball. So I mean, he does everything that you want out of your running back. And for me, when you look at, you know, perennial all-pro running backs and your cream of the crop running backs, which I think Najee Harris can be, there's nobody in fantasy football that you can't get for a top running back. I mean, you look at Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, especially this year. I mean, if there's a wide receiver that you want, if there's a quarterback that you want, all it takes is trading one of those top-tier running backs, and you can get that player and in some situations, then some. So, you know, especially in this class where you've got two running backs that I believe are on that level, and then the drop-off is incredibly significant between, you know, your next talent at running back, you've got to take one of the top-tier running backs here.
Well, I'm not going to argue with that because I'm at 106, and I'm just going to say right now I'm taking Travis Etienne, running back Clemson. I think if you're sitting with the sixth pick in the draft and this kid falls to you, you are going to be racing to the podium, as they say. That's a no-brainer for me. That we've talked about the traits of this kid, and one of the things that we've talked about in past podcasts is when a guy can go out and identify a weakness in his game, you know, publicly, and say, I need to get better at this, and then he shows it on the field that, hey, guess what? I can do this now. I think that's a huge thing for an athlete. I mean, that's just a huge thing for anybody in general, right? I mean, if you identify your weaknesses and you work on them and you get better, that's massive. And for him to come out and publicly say, I'm not good at catching the football and I need to improve, and then he absolutely did that in Clemson, and kudos to them for giving him that opportunity. You know, he's not buried in an offense that doesn't throw the ball to running backs like my squad, the Minnesota Gophers. They never throw to running backs, but Etienne has proven he can catch the ball. He can make those cuts, and obviously he gets past the first level, and he's gone. I mean, the speed is absolutely legit. So I think with these two players, because I'm with you, Matt, I love Najee Harris a lot. I think these are the two guys where their order in drafts, you know, next May is going to be determined by draft position and which, you know, which team took them. You know, who goes first, what's the opportunity, like that kind of thing, and that'll sway people. You know, just like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, right? As soon as he went to Kansas City at the end of the first round, all of a sudden he jumps up to the 101 of running backs. And I would say, you know, what, 95% of us, if not more, did not have him as the first running back available. All right, let's go to the 107. Back to Matt Bruning. Who do you like here?
Well, Matt, I have to agree with you on Najee. Not a lot of people have him as their one at RB, so I love that call. I'm probably going to possibly upset Skip here. I'm going with my wide receiver one here now, and I'm taking Rashad Bateman. I love that he came back to school this year. I honestly didn't think he had much to prove. I thought he could have opted out like Jamar Chase and sat the year. But his run after the catch skills, I love. He doesn't have he's not the most explosive prospect. He's not the biggest prospect, but he seems to just do a ton of damage when he gets the ball with his yak ability. I love his contact balance. He just seems to shrug players off when they're trying to tackle him. I love how fluid he is at the top of his routes. He's got great double moves. He just seems to create separation. I just think overall he's one of the better route runners coming into this year. I think he's got great hands. He can go up and get that contested catch ball, which I think is huge for a guy his size as well. I think any team he goes to, he's got that alpha mentality, which I love a lot as well for him. I think whatever team he goes to, he could be a really good wide receiver. And I know this class is loaded with guys, but give me a guy like Bateman who just every time he's out on the field, he wants to destroy you. I love his competitiveness. I want a guy like that on my team.
Well, Matt, you made this easy for me because my next pick, I was trying to decide what I would actually do in a real draft or if I wanted to be a dick to Skip. So I appreciate you making my decision easier.
And he would have chosen Dick. He loves to take Bateman away from me. It's one of these things that's just tilting every time he does it. And then he laughs. He gets that little grin like he's got right now, that evil grin like, ha ha, I got your guy. Come and get him.
Well, I'm glad I could be the one, because then Skip can just not invite me back, Matt, and you guys will be okay to keep doing your
podcast. Hey, you just said Bateman was the 101, so you're definitely coming back.
No, there's nothing not to like about Rashad Bateman, right? I mean, you can turn on his film, and it's just hard to find flaws with his game. I mean, he does everything well. I mean, he's got some of the best hands in the draft. He runs good routes. You talked about the yak ability that he has. He's got that size to be an alpha wide receiver. I mean, there's nothing not to like about this kid. So, I mean, I love that pick.
Yep, I can't expand on it anymore. I think he's a great pick here. So, Matt, let's go right into 108. Who do you have?
So, now that we've decided I'm going to do what I was actually going to do in a draft, I've got to stick true to the brand. You know, I've preached it all season that Kyle Trask is my QB3. So if we get to 1.08, I've got to take my QB3 here, Kyle Trask. I mean, you just look at Kyle Trask. We talked about Rashad Bateman, how he just does everything well. And Kyle Trask is another one of those guys where he might not be like just special in one area in his game. He just does everything well. I mean, he can hit all the throws. He's accurate with the ball. He makes smart decisions. And he's another one of those guys that just having a historic rise due to a great season. And, you know, I've said it all the time. I've said it at least three or four times on this pod. I mean, when you compare his stats to Joe Burrow's last year, and while Kyle Trask isn't going to be the first quarterback taken in the draft, we all know that's not going to happen. He's having that sort of rise and that sort of season. His stats mirror what Joe Burrow did last year really similarly. And for me, I mean, when you look at Florida's roster, I mean, they've got Kyle Pitts, but do they really have this first-round wide receiver on their roster? I mean, you can make an argument that Kadarius Toney is a great wide receiver, and he's going to be a good pick in this draft, but he's not that perennial talent that Devontae Smith is, that Rashad Bateman is, and Kyle Trask is still having this amazing season. I mean, for me, he's my third quarterback in this year's draft, so if he made it to 1.08 and I'm picking from there, I'm stoked to get him here.
Yeah, I was wondering how long he would last. I actually considered him at 106, so I think that's a great value pick, especially, I mean, if he goes in the first round, you get a first-round quarterback at the 109 in a super flex. That's crazy. So that's a solid play. You know, he's 108. Yeah, he's done everything you could possibly have asked from this guy this season. So, you know, what more does he have left to prove? I mean, he makes all the throws. I love Trask too. He's one of those guys where if he were to fall to a team like my Vikings, I wouldn't be upset about that at all. What do you think, Bruning, about this guy?
I love it. I wasn't sure when he was going to go, and so I like Kyle Trask a lot. Actually, in the program league we were talking about earlier, I have him and Mac Jones and Justin Fields, so I'm loving my future quarterbacks coming up, and I like Kyle Trask a lot. He's a lot like Mac Jones as well. I'm not sure he's going to be a guy that gets drafted early, but I do think he's got that first-round draft capital, and wherever he lands, I think he's going to be really good. It's going to be interesting to see. I know it almost seems like we never see a full first-round draft class kind of pan out. But I think him, there's could be easily six guys this year that go in the first round that are really good.
And when's the last time we've seen that, right, where you've got six quarterbacks taken to the first round? I mean, this quarterback class is just so crazy deep. We haven't seen this sort of deep quarterback class since the Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and my heart still hurt a little bit. Baker Mayfield didn't turn out like I thought he was going to, and that hurts.
And there's still time. There's still time. Don't give up yet. There's still time.
Yeah, he's not dead yet, but yeah, he is perplexing. It seems to be quite the roller coaster ride for people that like him. Well, I can't pass on this guy just because I think he's one of those guys that, you know, out of sight, out of mind. No one's thinking about him because he hasn't played a down. And that's Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver of LSU. I am grabbing here at the 109. I mean, this guy, you know, last year was arguably the best wide receiver in all of college football. And obviously nothing's changed this year to change that. I mean, I think when people don't see a guy play, they kind of forget about him. And he does everything you want. I mean, he adjusts well to the ball. He's a good route runner. He can get you good yards after the catch. He'll make people miss after the catch. Great hands. I love Ja'Marr Chase. I think he's a great all around wide receiver. He's got the talent and traits to exceed at the next level, and he's got probably first round draft capital. So, There's not a lot to dislike about Chase, so he's my pick here, and it's a pretty easy one for me.
Yeah, you know, the fantasy football community is so fickle when it comes to what have you done for me lately? And that's the perfect example when you look at Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, he hasn't played all season. People forgot the historic season that he had last year. And he was a lot of people's wide receiver ones going into the season. And that's changed a little bit just because we've seen other guys play and we haven't seen Ja'Marr Chase play. But he's still going to be a great wide receiver. He does everything well. I mean, and you're looking at it, you know, we're going into the 110 here and look at all those guys that are still on the board. I mean, that just goes to show you how deep this class is if everybody comes out. I mean, this class is just so stupid deep, and I'm loving it.
Yeah, I mean, to get Ja'Marr Chase there where some people argue he's better than Justin Jefferson, and you're seeing the year Justin Jefferson's having right now in the NFL, I mean, that's got to make you thrilled to be sitting there at 109 and get Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that pick. All right, let's go quickly back to you, Matt Bruning, at 110.
So I'm going to a little bit same, out of sight, out of mind, and probably the last first-round QB, and to get him at 110, I think you'd be pretty thrilled. I'm going to go Trey Lance. Now, I am worried about him. I'll give the negatives first so that people can hear the positives. I am a little worried, obviously, about him playing a little bit lackluster competition. I think his accuracy is inconsistent, even when he's got a clean pocket at times, and his deep ball accuracy is not always there. That being said, he's a great athlete, especially in the run game. He's got pocket mobility as well, does a good job escaping the pocket. He's competitive. Throws a beautiful ball, and for the most part, Cam, he's very accurate in the intermediate area, which is something I mentioned earlier with Justin Fields. Has excellent velocity on his throws. I do think that he, for the most part, can be accurate deep down the field, but the biggest thing is his ball placement, which I do love. You know, it'll be interesting to see where people go with him. I think the biggest reason he's fallen for me is I think he's got the lowest floor out of all the guys in this first round, and that's what I think he could have, possibly not the highest ceiling outside those top two, but be better than Jones, Trask, and even possibly Wilson, but I think he's definitely got the lowest floor out of all of those guys. So that's probably why he fell, in my opinion, but I'd be thrilled to get a guy like Lance here at 110 in a super flex draft.
Yeah, you mentioned the stuff that worries me about Trask, you know, or not Trask, about Lance, and it's the accuracy issues. I mean, that one game that he played was probably a game that we can all argue that he shouldn't have played. I mean, he just didn't look accurate. He was missing guys in the end zone. And that worries me at an NFL level. You know, if you're not accurate in college, you're not going to be accurate in the NFL. I mean, those windows don't get any bigger. They get smaller. And that's something that worries me about Lance. But he's on the flip side of that, as he might have, you know, just from a strictly pure arm talent standpoint, the highest ceiling out of all of these guys. Because what he does with his arm is incredible at some point. So, you know, for me, this is about right the area that I'd want to take him in. You know, he's one of those guys that's going to still get the first-round capital. We mentioned the first-round draft capital and how important that is. So he's going to get that first-round draft capital. Some team's going to take him. He's another guy that could potentially slip in the draft. And if he lands in the right spot, if he's given the opportunity, which I think he needs, to sit a year and learn from another quarterback, that could be the best thing that happens to him. And he could be the steal of super flex drafts because of where he's going to fall to.
Yeah, I agree with everything you guys said. If he gets the opportunity eventually and he becomes a starter, then that low floor you talked about, Matt, goes up because he's got clear rushing ability. I mean, this kid can run the football, so he's going to get you points that way. I mean, look at, you know, Taysom Hill in New Orleans. Literally can't throw a touchdown pass, and he's scoring points every week just because he keeps running in touchdowns, and he's killing everyone else on his roster, but that's a whole nother discussion. So, all right, Matt Jackson, 111, your last pick in the first round. Who do you have here?
So for my last pick in the first round, I'm going to go for my wide receiver two here in Alabama's Devontae Smith. The biggest knock on Devontae Smith is his size. That's what you hear about everybody. You know, we've got at least one sizist in the room that I know of right now that's going to hate on me for taking Devontae Smith over some other guys. But, you know, when you look at Smith, what he does on the field, he's explosive. I mean, he's got the speed to be a great wide receiver. He's got the hands, the yards after catch ability, and he is absolutely exploding with Jalen Waddle on injury for the season. I mean, he's having a great season, and the size doesn't worry me at all. You look at some receivers in the NFL that were drafted less than 170 pounds or less than 180 pounds, and while some of them haven't hit in, you know, you look at the Marquise Browns and some of the other guys like that, they didn't have the college production and the skills on tape that I see out of Devontae Smith. I mean, I love what Devontae Smith does on the field. And for the end of the first round, you're a team that, unless you traded for this pick, you're a team that's already got an amazing roster. I mean, you're picking at the end of the first round. So adding somebody here that probably has the highest ceiling out of all these wide receivers, in my opinion, just based on his speed and his yards after the catch ability, that's a great pick here for me.
Well, you talked about sizes, and I'm assuming you're talking about me.
Skip, I would never talk about you like that.
I'm more of the guy that doesn't like the little dudes that look great in college and that it doesn't transfer to the NFL. And I know that the NFL is changing their game and that more and more of these guys will probably become better fantasy football producers. But Devonta Smith is still 6'1", so it's not like he's, you know, 5'8". I'm okay with that. I love this kid. So he was right up there when I was looking ahead and saying, okay, who am I going to take with the last pick in the first round? He was one of the two or three guys that I was considering. So, in fact, you both have eliminated the two guys that I was in there. So you made my pick really easy. Before I get to that, you know, Bruning, did you want to say anything about Devontae Quick?
I mean, I'm not a—I shouldn't say not a huge fan. He's not my wide receiver, too. I'm not a—I just—I don't know. I don't know what to think about him. I really don't. I love his overall game, but I just—I'm worried that he's not Henry Ruggs, but I'm worried he could be pegged into that kind of role when he comes into the NFL and just be kind of used as a deep threat, and then that eliminates him for us fantasy-wise for the most part. I don't see him being that Tyreek Hill because nobody else has Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. So I don't know what to think of it. He's probably a guy I'm not going to get in a lot of my rookie drafts because I've got him, I think, my wide receiver 4 or 5 in this class right now. So he's probably a guy I won't get because I think a lot of people do have him up there as their wide receiver 1 through 3.
All right, I like it. And with the last pick in the first round, I am going to switch to the new position and take tight end Kyle Pitts from Florida. I think this kid is an absolute difference maker. And I know I just sniped you because you've got the 201.
You did.
Dude, skip, man. Matt's never going to come on our pod again. Way to go.
I'm not. Is there a way to get out of here? Where's the leave studio button?
Well, you know, if you want to trade me Bateman, you know, for Pitts, we can have that conversation. But
Done deal.
You know, the thing is, tight end is such a wasteland after the top – 2 or 3. I mean, obviously Kelsey is on a tier all by himself, and then you got some other really good guys, and for whatever reason they're not just producing at that same level, although I still think Darren Waller is extremely underrated. But Pitts absolutely dominates at tight end. I mean, he's basically a big wide receiver playing tight end, and I know people will talk about that he doesn't do some of the other things that you want a tight end to do, you know, blocking and that sort of stuff. And that's important to get him on the field, but I don't get fantasy football points for blocking. So if he's out there, you know, running routes and catching passes and absolutely dominating, and he's a big guy, you know, so an obvious red zone target, I think this guy could be a difference maker. And Let's be honest. If this is a tight end premium league or a 2 tight end league, then he should not last until the last pick in the first round. That's how highly I think of him. And I know I'm not going to get an argument probably from either one of you because, you know, Matt, we had this conversation earlier, pod. You were talking, what, 105, 106, as high as that for Pitt. So I love him here. I think this is especially if you're the defending champion and you can add a potential huge difference maker at the tight end position, that's a no-brainer to me.
You know, most of the time you're not gonna in most drafts you're not gonna draft a guy that immediately comes in the league is a top 5 tight end, if not a top 3 tight end, and that's what you're gonna get, I think, with Kyle Pitts. You know, and especially in tight end premium leagues, those guys are just so hard to find. I mean, your tight ends that come in are just immediately just difference makers. You don't find those in every draft class, so you got to take advantage when you can, especially in tight end premium and 2 tight end leagues where the points are skewed towards the tight ends. I mean, you look at guys like Travis Kelce, and what I think when you compare him to like the top 12 receivers, he's like a top 12 receiver at tight end, if not, you know, a top six receiver. I haven't looked at the stats, but I mean, I know he's the second leading receiver on Kansas City's roster. So, I mean, those guys are just difference makers on your roster. If it's a tight end premium league, he's not going to last to pick 12. I mean, that's generally not going to happen. So I love the pick, and I love the value that you get there.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I love Pitts. Great pick. Great pick.
He's awesome. So quick review, and then we'll try to get through the second round a little bit faster here so this show doesn't go 2 hours. Fields, a little bit of a surprise at pick one, but definitely a great player. Then we got Trevor Lawrence, 2, Zach Wilson, 3, Mac Jones, 4. So all quarterbacks, 1 through 4. Then we went running back with Najee Harris and Travis Etienne. First wide receiver, Rashad Bateman at 107. Then back to quarterback with Kyle Trask at 8. Number 9, Jamar Chase. Then Trey Lance, the 6th quarterback taken in the first round. And finished it up with Devonta Smith and Kyle Pitts. So that is our first round. And we're going to start off the second round with Matt Bruning. Who do you got here?
I'm going to take my current wide receiver 2 in this class, and Rondale Moore. I love Moore. I love that he opted back in and played. Obviously, that first game we saw right off the bat, 15 catches, 116 yards. Looked dynamic. He's a yak monster as well. Got that if you want to look at his film, go to the game where he just completely destroyed Ohio State by himself a couple years ago. He's amazing. For his size, he absorbs body blows and continues moving down the field. I know he doesn't have the size either, which some people are worried about. Doesn't worry me at all with how fast and explosive he is. As long as he can stay healthy, I think he plays like a smaller, more explosive version of Steve Smith, in my opinion. So if he can continue to bring that aggressiveness to the NFL field and play that way, I think he's going to be an absolute stud in the NFL.
He's small, but he's not small. I mean, what guys at his height that are going out benching or squatting 600 pounds? I mean, it's just not happening. Exactly. I mean, this dude is special. I mean, he's built differently than a lot of other small receivers. So, I mean, his size, if you even want to call it that, is not a worry to me at all. I mean, he just does things on the field that not a lot of guys are going to do. And we didn't see that a lot because we haven't seen him in a year and a half, but he came back in his first game of the season. He was doing what he was doing his freshman year. So that's all I need to know about Rondale Moore.
Yep, you hit on exactly what I was going to say. I've talked about being, you know, weary of guys that are not tall enough to get, you know, kind of those contested catches. But Rondale Moore is special. He is so strong. He plays bigger than he is and than he looks. And he's got all the agility and the speed to make plays every time he gets his hands on the football. Yeah, I love this pick. And at 201, that is so awesome. I think we're going to learn as we continue to go through the second round here that there is definite value in the second round of this rookie draft. So this is awesome. Matt Jackson, 202.
So at this pick, there's two different routes I want to go here, and I think I'm going to get cute for a second just because we're in a mock draft, and why not? At 202, I'm going to pick a wide receiver that I've fallen in love with this season, and LSU's Terrace Marshall. When you look at him last season, he was getting snaps and he was getting usage on a team that had Jamar Chase and that had Justin Jefferson, and he was still popping on film. And all he's done this season is become that alpha receiver on that team. He's one of the lone bright spots of LSU's horrible season this year. And he's one of those guys for me. I mean, to talk about another guy that just does everything well, runs good routes, has great hands. He's one of those guys that early to mid second round that could end up winning you some of your fantasy leagues this year just based on the value that you're going to get him at versus what he does on the field. I mean, I love Terrace Marshall. I know Matt loves Terrace Marshall, if I remember seeing his ranks right. So I'm excited about this pick.
Yeah, I think it's a great pick. He was actually the one I was debating between, but I mean, I can't. You know, I think Marshall is my wide receiver 5 right now. Moore is my wide receiver 2, and I tend to be I don't know if I can curse or not, so I'll be a rankings, you know what. So I just went ahead and stuck with my rankings.
Yep, no wrongdoing there. You got to stick with your guys. I was hoping you were going to make it easy for me, Matt, by taking one of the two guys I was considering. You did not. So unfortunately, I'm just going to have to punt here. I got to go with a running back who is probably the guy at the running back position that has moved up the most this season. And that is out of North Carolina.
I was going to do it.
Javonte Williams. He has got the size to be a complete every down back. He's proven that he can catch passes, so he can stick on the field on third down. He's 220 pounds. He could be a goal line back. And this dude breaks tackles and gets yards after contact. I don't think there's anything more you really need to see out of a running back. I think the only reason why he might not be on everybody's radar is because his production isn't as great as it could be because he's splitting time, almost 50-50. And he's still putting out great production. But I love this kid, and I think getting him here would be a steal. And so I'm super, super happy to grab him at the 203.
I was hoping he was going to slip because you guys have forgotten about it. And I should have known, Skip, that you don't forget about Javonte Williams because you've been high on him all season. So for me, you look at Javonte Williams, and he's in a time show. He's splitting 50-50, but he still has over 1,000 all-purpose yards and, what, like 17, 18 total touchdowns? I mean, he's having the season at running back that, you know, we talked about it last week, that Kyle Trask or Joe Burrow had at quarterback. I mean, he's that next level running back. That next tier of running back. I mean, he's my running back three. I love the pick. I love the player. He's a hometown guy for me. So, I mean, he has those skills that translate well to the NFL. I mean, he breaks tackles. He's got yards after contact that you like out of running backs. I mean, he's a great pick.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Matt.
No, I agree. I was going to just tell Matt he wasn't going to fall to you because that would have been my next pick. I made, obviously, the proclamation on my podcast that he should be RB1. I slightly have come off that a little bit, but he's phenomenal.
Didn't you take him in our Dynasty Nerds mock draft 101?
I took him at 103 in the standard one when I think it was ETN Najee, and then I took him at 103. But it was the standard, not the Superflex one. Superflex, I'm not that crazy.
I managed to miss on him in every Campus DeCanton and Devy League that I'm in. And a lot of Devy Leagues, he's probably not rostered, depending on the depth of your league, because he just was kind of under the radar last year. So he's one of those guys where, and we've talked about this, Devy Leagues, he's probably going to be available in your rookie draft. And obviously he's going to be way up the draft board. But I think he's one that in my non-Devy Leagues I'm going to be targeting. I'm going to want to get some shares of him. I love his style of play. All right, Matt Bruning, you're at 104, or 204, excuse me. Who do you got?
So this comes down to two guys that it was between two running backs for me. You just took the one guy that I was going to go. Matt, I know you are a big fan of him as well. He's been a huge riser, I think, for everyone and will continue to be. I'm going Jamar Jefferson out of Oregon State. I love everything about his game. He's moved up to running back four for me in my ranks, right behind Javonte Williams. Obviously, he's put on a show this year. He's a guy a lot of people forgot about after his freshman season, where he had that massive season. Got hurt last year with the ankle injury. Started splitting time with Artavius Pierce, but he can catch the ball in the open field. I love his vision and his lateral quickness. One of the things a lot of us question coming into this year, does he have that home run speed? I mean, he's not going to be Travis Etienne beating you to the end zone, but he still has enough speed to get down there. Jamar Jefferson, I think, actually has a chance to be a NFL back for a workhorse in the NFL. Love Jamar Jefferson, so he's the running back I'm taking here.
Yeah, I love that pick. That's a great pick.
Yep, I'm not going to argue with it either. Again, like you said, last year, out of sight, out of mind, and this year he's showing everybody what he did his freshman year. So he's fantastic. Matt Jackson, you got at 205.
So I hate both of y'all because those were going to be my two picks. So now I've got a decision to make. So for me, I'm going to go back to the wide receiver well, and I'm going to take a guy that probably shouldn't be falling the way he is right now in Alabama's Jalen Waddle. When you look at him, you know, he's dropping because of the injury, and, you know, the kind of – because of that injury, you know, he's not on a lot of people's radars anymore. But he was having a great season. He was the wide receiver one on that team. He's going to be a value pick in your second round. I think he's going to fall like this in most drafts, and probably the NFL draft too is going to fall a little bit because of the injury. But you're getting a great player in Jalen Waddle. He before the season, he was one of those guys that could be another one of Alabama's first round wide receivers taken. And while I don't think that's going to happen this year, I still think he's a great player. So Jalen Waddle here.
Yeah, I think you hit on that where the only reason he's falling as far as he because of the injury, and it's legit. I mean, you never know how a guy's going to bounce back, but the talent is absolutely there. I mean, this kid, he's not just fast. He is shifty. He's going to make people miss. I mean, he's explosive when he gets his hands on the ball. And so he has those traits that despite being a smaller guy, I think he can succeed at the next level. I think he can buck the trend even for a guy like me that likes bigger wide receivers. All right, we're right into my pick, and I said I had it down to two guys last time, and my guy is still there, so I'm reaching on this guy, but I'm going to overlook some of the things that I don't like about him, and there's really only one, and that's wide receiver Tamorian Terry. I like everything about this kid, and I'll talk about the one negative first. Again, on Florida State, he does have a tendency to drop the ball, and he'll miss out on catches and big plays that he should make. So that is the concern. That said, everything else I like about him. I mean, he's 6'4". He bulked up to 220. He's got the speed to beat people deep and make big plays. He can run across the middle. He has maybe he's a boom bust guy in that, you know, he could bust out if he proves he can't catch the ball enough at the NFL. But I think there's enough there where I'm absolutely willing to take my shot at this kid at 206. I like him that much. I love his upside.
Tamorian Terry, to me, you know, I've said it before. He's really boom or bust for me. And you look at him. I mean, look at his traits. He's a big wide receiver. He's fast. He drops passes. That is too similar to me to what we saw. I mean, those were my big three things when I was scouting Hakeem Butler a few years ago. He was a big wide receiver that was fast, but he had a tendency to drop passes. And that experiment didn't work out too well. He might be on the Eagles practice squad right now. I think they signed him as a tight end. So, I mean, those issues scare me. He could potentially blow up and be one of the best value picks in this draft, or he could be a guy that you waste a draft pick on. I mean, I don't think there's any in between for Tamorian Terry for me.
Well, and to go with your Butler comparison, if he falls on draft day like Butler did, then there's no way I'm taking him at 206. I will let draft capital dictate, you know, where I pluck that kid in my rookie draft. Then I'll, you know, put a little asterisk by him and say, okay, maybe I can steal him in the middle of the third round because everyone else is going to ignore the kid because he fell, you know, all the way to round five or six or wherever he goes. But yeah, that's a great point. All right, Matt Bruning, you're up 207.
All right, I am taking Amon-Ra St. Brown out of USC. Love his suddenness off the line, toughness, physicality. He's got great burst, dynamic athlete, agility, body control. I think he profiles probably to be a little bit more of a slot receiver, but I think with the way he creates separation at the top of his routes, he's very quick, creative in running his routes as well, creates leverage against defenders. I love everything about his game. Think he could be a really good slot receiver in the NFL, and I think he's the best out of the St. Brown family. So I'm excited to see him at the next level. I think Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Great pick. Yeah, absolutely. Great pick. Matt Jackson, you got any comments on that before we go to you at 208?
No, I love the pick. You know, he runs great routes. He has good hands. I mean, he's one of those guys that might be a possession receiver in the NFL, but I mean, that's not a problem for me. You know, those guys score fantasy points, so it's a great pick.
Yep, absolutely. We're in consensus there. All right, who do you like here, Matt?
So at 2.09, I'm going to go to the running back well for a little bit, and I'm going to pick Kenneth Gainwell. He's another one of those guys that's out of sight, that's out of mind. You know, concern with him is size too, but I mean, he's shifty in the open space. He's fast. He can catch the ball. He's got the production at the college level. And, you know, in a draft that is slim at running backs, you got to take a chance on a guy that could bust out and get you higher production than you're spending draft capital. And I think that's what you're going to get with Kenneth Gainwell. I mean, he's a great running back. A lot of people have forgotten about him, but this time next year, I think he's going to rise in a lot of drafts because he does a lot of things on the field really well.
I don't like you right now. I'll be honest. Not a fan. No, that was my slam dunk pick. If you said 209, you were really picking 208. So I think what you meant to say was, Skip, I'm going to leave this guy for you at the 209 because that's where he's supposed to go. So you're going to make me do something that I probably won't do in a real draft, but we've talked about this time and time again. You don't hate the player, hate the ADP. And now I think it's worth a shot. I'm going to grab Chuba Hubbard from Oklahoma State. If he gets day two draft capital, then this kid could be a home run hitter. I am concerned that he doesn't have the traits that we want as far as the vision and the ability to make that one cut to get to open space when the hole isn't right in front of him. But the speed is legit. I mean, if he does have the hole, you know, he gone. So I'm going to take my shot here and kind of another gamble just because he fell so far that I'm going to go with him because all the other running backs that I had, you know, above him are gone. And I like Chuba Hubbard right here. All right. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Let's comment on Hubbard.
That's about right where I would feel confident taking him. I mean, he's got some vision problems and some creating on his own problems, but he's also got the home run speed that you like. So, I mean, that's at this point in the draft where you're running slim on running backs that can actually produce in the NFL, that's a great pick.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually.
All right, 210, Matt Bruning, this is your last pick of our mock draft. Who do you like here?
So I'm gonna keep going running back here just because I was looking at my wide receiver ranks, and there's still about 8-9 guys I'd love to have. So I'd imagine at least some of those guys will make it back to me. We're running back starting to get very thin. So I'm going to go C.J. Verdell out of Oregon. He was a guy I actually had at my running back 4 coming into the year. Hasn't really played that great this year, so he's dropped a little bit. I love his agility as a runner. He runs tough north and south, does a good job running with his behind his pads for a smaller back. He's good vision, good footwork, good instincts inside, can do stuff in the passing game. He's not great at it, but he's sufficient out of the backfield. I don't think he's a great decision maker, especially when it comes to the zone read running. He doesn't have a ton of elusiveness in the open field, so I'm not sure he ends up being a workhorse back in the NFL, but I think he's talented enough to be in a committee and produce for you at the NFL level. So I'm going C.J. Verdell.
With Verdell, he's got the one thing that worries about me is his consistency issues. I mean, he had his 200-yard games to begin the season, and then he's gone on the next 2 weeks to do just absolutely nothing for you, and that worries me a little bit. He's one of those guys that could produce for an NFL roster. He's one of those guys that for me, I just don't anticipate having a lot of stock in just because where you're going to have to draft him at, there's so many other players that I prefer over C.J. Verdell. Like, I'm just not going to draft him anywhere. And that's not because I hate the player. It's just I like other guys above him where I'm going to have to draft C.J. Verdell at.
Yeah, I agree. We're definitely at that part in the draft where there's more things to talk about on reasons why a player might not hit than you would get in the first round. I mean, that's why it's the second round of the draft. So you're not going to get any of these slam dunk prospects this late, but yeah, you go with your guy. This is where draft, capital is going to matter more, because guys are going to move up and down because of where they fall in the actual NFL draft. So yeah, take that into consideration when you're doing, your final rankings going into your rookie drafts. All right. Your last pick, Matt Jackson, 211.
Okay, so do you guys want me to go floor or should I go ceiling here? Help me decide.
Go ceiling. Yeah.
So at this pick, I'm going to go to the wide receiver well and take Ole Miss's Elijah Moore. So when you look at Moore, Skip's over there smiling because he knows I'm gonna make another sizist argument because that's just I prefer the smaller fast wide receivers. I mean, I'm no stranger to picking the smaller fast wide receivers on this pod. When you look at Elijah Moore, he is most likely the front runner for the Biletnikoff Award. He's having an historic season. I mean, he's one of the fastest receivers to 1,000 yards I've ever seen. I mean, he's had multiple 200-yard receiving games. He's got the yards after the catch ability. He's got the speed. I mean, he just shreds secondaries over the top, and I love that. So at the end of the second round, where your options for a guy that can go out and win you a championship are starting to get a little thin, I mean, you've got to take the ceiling play in Elijah Moore. I mean, he's just too good to let slip into the third round.
What do you think, Matt? You like him here?
I do. Alfred on FF on Twitter, we had on our show a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about him. I don't have the stats pulled up anymore on him, but yeah, he's phenomenal down. Receiving down the field, his deep passing, he's like one of the best. He's also really good out of the slot as well, which I think is the one concern everybody has for him, is that he primarily looks like he's going to be a slot wide receiver. But with the way he's played, I think he's been great. My biggest argument about him is obviously the peeing on the goalpost. That's about the only knock I have on him. I don't care about his size. When you've got speed, like, or faking peeing, I don't think he actually peed, obviously. But when you've got the speed that you have there, you can be a game changer. So I'll actually like to pick a lot.
You know, profiling as a slot receiver, you know, and I'm not going to say that they're the same player, because they're not. But you know who else profiled as primarily a slot receiver? Justin Jefferson.
I would
love to have Justin Jefferson in my leagues right now.
That's a great point. And, you know, again, this, you know, you're at the end of the second round. You're, you know, unless you've traded for this pick, you just lost the championship game. So you have a good team. So you can afford to take, you know, a ceiling shot at a guy like Elijah Moore for all those traits that we like about him. And you know what? If you happen to miss on Moore, that's okay. See what I did there, Matt? You didn't even catch that?
Yeah.
The old miss? Thank you. Thank you very much.
Dude, you make so many dad jokes now. I tend to tune you out a little bit.
That's great for my podcast co-host. Yeah, I just tune you out. I'm not really listening. There's something on my device over here that's more important. All right. So with the final pick, and you guys again made this difficult, because there's a lot of players you like, and this is where, you know, draft capital will matter. I'm going to go back to Oklahoma State, and I really like Tylan Wallace at wide receiver. I like a lot of his game. He's not the biggest guy, but, you know, he's still 6 feet tall. He is a big play threat. He can get you yards after the catch. He can win some contested throws. I like his speed and his hands. I just think he's one of those all-around solid wide receivers that has enough traits to make him a good wide receiver in the NFL. And of course, you know, it's going to matter, you know, where he falls, but I'm a Tylan Wallace guy. So I'm going to take him with the last pick in the second round. And there's some guys that we didn't take that showed you, if you're a team that has early third round picks, those picks are going to be valuable. I mean, you are going to be able to find, you know, some guys at the beginning of the third round, especially. So keep that in mind. If you're a team, you know, where you're drafting in the top half of each round, those are good picks. Don't just trade them away. Any comments, quick guys, on Wallace before I do a quick recap on the second round and we finish with our final thoughts?
Yeah, I love that pick. That was the one guy I was debating, you know, when I was talking about the floor play. I think Tylan Wallace has a great floor. He's having a great season. I love the pick.
Yeah, right there with you. I mean, he's right up there in that group of guys that I'd be thrilled to get, especially there at the end of the second round, or as you just mentioned, early third. Seth Williams, Chris Olave, De'Ami Brown. I mean, there's a ton of guys you just mentioned we didn't even pick yet, and we're already going in the third round. So, yeah, but I love Tylan Wallace. He's right up there above all those guys, even Elijah Moore, even though I do love the pick, Matt.
Yep, yeah. That's, and those were the names that I was considering as well. And then, you know, a running back, that Jarrett Patterson from Buffalo, is getting a lot of pub, of course. Had a ridiculous game last weekend. So the second round went Rondale Moore, Terrace Marshall. We had Javonta Williams, Jamar Jefferson, Jalen Waddle, Tamorian Terry, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Kenneth Gainwell, Chuba Hubbard, C.J. Verdell, Elijah Moore, and Tylan Wallace finished out the second round. So all wide receivers and running backs, no more quarterbacks, and no tight ends. And there are quite a few tight ends that may slip in again into that second round if you're in a tight end premium league. I mean, you know, you can't ignore the fact that Brevin Jordan and Pat Freiermuth are great prospects, and there are other guys that are going to be after them. This is a really deep tight end class, so keep that in mind. Let's finish up then. You know, Matt Bruning, again, remind everybody, you know, where they can find your work and your awesome podcast.
Yeah, so again, thank you guys for having me on. It's been a lot of fun. I love doing Talking Debbie. I don't get to do that enough on my usual podcast, but I had to get a little bit, obviously, on the Debbie debate. But it was fun hanging out with you guys, doing a little mock draft here. You guys can find me on Twitter at SportsFanaticMB, and then all of my articles and everything come out at Dynasty Nerds. You can reach out to me there. I'm more than willing to talk to anybody. I don't really have anything else. So again, thank you guys for having me on.
Yeah, thank you, man. It's been awesome having you. You're the first guest, so you get to hold that trophy from now until the end of time. So that's a big one.
The one that Matt has, right? That's the one you're sending me? That's my trophy?
There you go.
Here's your beautiful trophy.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I'll be looking for it.
All right, Mr. Jackson, where can everybody find you and your stuff?
Yeah, so, you know, Matt, great to have you on. You guys can find me on Twitter at @DHH_Matt. Always love to interact with you guys. Reach out if you have any Debbie questions. Guys, trade for the second and third round picks. I think we've covered that already. There's just so much value in these drafts. So if you can get your hand on any second and third round picks, I mean, this is the great draft to do it. You can find all my stuff on Dynasty Nerds. I try to write articles when I can. I'm a little busy with school and whatnot, but with that ending next week, I should be able to pump out some more content. So look forward to interacting with you guys there as well.
All right, and for Shaq, Brian Chakotis, he's at Dynasty Tools on Twitter, also does some film room editing for Dynasty Nerds when he has time, and is the co-host of the Dynasty Tools podcast, again, when his crazy schedule for teaching doesn't absolutely ruin his free time, because it's been nuts not having him on the show. Of course, he was here last week. If you missed it, go back and listen. It was just awesome talking college football with him. We are a part of the Dynasty Happy Hour team of podcasts. Of course, we have the Dynasty Happy Hour, Tim Keller, Doug Eddy, and Tyler Gunther, and the DHH Contractor, hosted by Randy, a.k.a. Memphis. My name is Skip Newton. Just to remind everyone, at SkipNewton31, reach out anytime on Twitter. You want to talk Debbie or just talk Dynasty, whatever. I'm more than willing to have those discussions. I do cover the ACC for the Dynasty Draft Room. It is the best site for your NFL draft needs, in my opinion. We got videos, rankings, profiles. I just love it. Super, super thrilled to be a part of that team. And thanks again to those guys for bringing me on board. And then as my final thank you appreciation, I'm going to go back to you, Matt Bruning, and your co-commissioners, Boz, and you said Garrett Price stepped in there, and Carl. The thing I didn't mention before, I talked about kind of the rules and all the stuff going into it, but the one thing I want to bring up is commissioning a league can be work. You guys have brought that to a whole nother level. And, you know, as difficult it is as a fantasy owner to run my team and figure out what the heck am I doing with this league, I can't even imagine the amount of time you guys are putting in, but you seem to be having a lot of fun with it, and you're doing an awesome job. So just want to say thank you to you guys for doing that, and I'm thrilled to be a part of it. You guys are the best. I think that's only the second or third time I've said the word absolutely on this podcast, so I'm getting my number down there, Matt Jackson. I listened to
You're working on it.
The first 10 to 15 minutes of the last podcast as I'm editing, I'm like, holy crap, I use the word absolutely a lot. So I got to work on that. All right. Thanks again to all of you for listening. If you want to hear something on future podcasts or topics, trades, whatever, let us know. And on that note, we will sign off. Have an awesome weekend. Enjoy college football and be a good human.